Last week we learned the Gemara Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we got right to the middle of the Yomud. The Gemara is discussing Amar Abchiya Barashi Amar Rab. That's what we got there. The Gemara is discussing the situation where Yontif falls out on Thursday and Friday. So he's supposed to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday afternoon. So what's the din if the person forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday afternoon? What does he do? So in Eretz Yisrael there's only one day Yom Tov. So you don't need an Erev Tavshilin in such a case. If Yom Tov is on Thursday, so you cook on Friday for Shabbos, no problem. So the whole Shabbos is in Chutz Lord, when you have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath, so you're supposed to observe 2 days Yom Tov, so you're supposed to make the Erev Tavshilin, and when you make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, you say a bracha, you don't say a bracha. You say a bracha in Erev Tavshilin, but Yom Tov Sheni is only a Sveika D'Yoyma. So maybe really Thursday is Yom Tov and Friday is not Yom Tov. So you didn't need an Erev Tavshilin at all.
Well, what if it's only one way? In other words, if the question is if it's Thursday or Friday, right?
Right.
So if it's Thursday, then you have to something about Friday because it's Yom Tov. But on the other hand, if it was Friday, then you can make the Erev Tavshilin early.
Yeah, okay. If Yom Tov is really Friday, then you need an Erev Tavshilin. So you're making it on Wednesday instead of Thursday. Okay, so we pass and it's okay. We pass and you can make an Erev Tavshilin even a few days in advance. Earlier, that doesn't only have to be made on Erev Yom Tov, it can be made a month in advance also. But the Shah, yeah, let's say I'm making the beginning of the year, I'm making Erev Tavshilin, leave it in the freezer, and this is Erev Tavshilin for all year long.
In the Altaheim,
it won't work. It'll be in the freezer. Leave it in the freezer. Okay. So the shaila is though, let's say you make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, because Thursday and Friday is Yom Tov, but Thursday and Friday it can't be both days Yom Tov, it's either Thursday or Friday. See, if it's really Thursday, which is really, we all know it's really Thursday, in Eretz Yisrael they only observe Thursday, they don't observe the Yom Tov Sheni. So if it's really Thursday and Friday is really Chol, they didn't need an Erev Tavshilin, so why does he say a bracha? Isn't it a Sufik bracha about Chol? So Mestama, the answer is, we always say bracha. Mestama, the answer is, on Friday, when we prabha the Seder, let's say it's 2 days Yom Tov, Thursday and Friday, they say brachas on Yom Tov Sheni. Yeah. You daven musaf, and you say all the Yom Tov dig brachas, all kia shayfer and everything, tilas lulav, you say brachas on everything on the second day Yom Tov. So the Gemara asked the question, isn't it a safik bracha levatola? Safik brachas levatola? So the Gemara gives an answer. That's the halacha. Whatever the explanation is, the Gemara Mebem Madli can ask the question. They give an answer. That's what the Chachamim want. But Beit Shinolda on the first day Yom Tov. Yeah. Not also. Not second day. Beit on the first day is mutter on the second day. Yeah. No. Beit Hashanah. Gemara had a machlokes. Rosh Hashanah will be also the second day. Gemara had a machlokes in the first parak. But then all the bezeh surah bezeh are not 2 days Yom Tov. We pass in mutter. 2 days Yom Tov is mimanim shach. Either the first day is kodesh or the second day is kodesh. Can't be both in a row. So when you make an erev tavshilin on Wednesday and Yom Tov is on Thursday and Friday, that's not a kasha. How do you say the? The Kivegir asked the kasha. It's not a kasha. How do you say a bracha on the Erev Tavshilin? It's itself a bracha of Atolos. How do you say a bracha on the Seder, on the second night, on the Matzah in the Morah? How do you say Musaf? The Gemara gave an answer that you say brachas on Yom Tov Sheni. So this is part of the takana of Yom Tov Sheni. But here the Gemara has a special shaila. The fellow forgot to make. He was supposed to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. Forgot. So what does he do? Is he stuck? So the Gemara says if it's Rosh Hashanah, he's stuck to stop, because 2 days Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Ha'aricha, it's considered like it's a Vadai. Vadai Midrabbanan, then I thought it's not Vadai. The first day is Vadai, the second day is nothing. But Midrabbanan, I treat both days Rosh Hashanah as if it's Vadai. But every other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli is Pesach Shavua Sukkis. Every other Yom Tov Sheni is only B'Torah Sofik. Either the first day or the second day, you can make a Mimon of Shoch. So that's what he says. Amar Abchiya Barashi, Amar Rab. He says in the name of Rab, Minei Echad Me'erevei Tchumin. We'll get to both members. He says, let's say you want to go Shabbos, there's going to be a big chazan davening somewhere, but it's chutz l'tchum. So I want to make an erev tchumen before Shabbos in order to be allowed to go. So I should have made Derevet Chumen on Wednesday. I forgot to make it on Wednesday. So can I make it on Yom Tov? So you're not supposed to make an Erevet Chumen on Yom Tov for Shabbos. That's Achana. You're not allowed to make it. But you don't know which day Yom Tov is the real day Yom Tov. It's not 2 days Yom Tov. Thursday and Friday can't be 2 days Yom Tov. It's a Mimonim Shach. It's a Sveikit in Yom. Either Yom Tov is the first day or the second day. So let him put away his Erevet Chumen. He forgot to make it on Wednesday. So let him leave the Erevet Chumen for Shabbos. Let him leave the Erevet Chumen on Thursday. And I'll say like this: if today is Yom Tov, so I'm not doing anything. There's nothing. I'm not doing anything. And if tomorrow is Yom Tov, let this serve as the Erevet Chumen. Tomorrow I'll want it to be the Erevet Chumen. So Mimonim Shach, he's not doing anything wrong. He did not make the Erevet Chumen on Yom Tov for Shabbos. He said each day, he says, if today's Yom Tov, I'm not doing anything. If today's not Yom Tov, let this be the Erevet Chumen for Shabbos. Then the second day on Friday, he said the same thing. So he says, since...
Why can't you do it on the second day to start by that?
It is. Does the second day, he says, either yesterday was Erev Yom Tov.
We know that the second day is only, we know that the first day, Adam became the Gurdi Yaka. I mean, we know the first day is really, the second day
is really Yom Tov Min HaTorah. The first day is really Yom Tov Min HaTorah. The second day is a make-believe Midirabbanim. You treat it as if we're not sure whether the first day is. No, you can't make on the second day Yom Tov. You have to act as if it's a real Sveik of the Yom. You're not allowed to do a malocha on the second day. So you can't make an Erevet Chumen. Can't make an Erevet Chumen on Yom Tov or Shabbat.
Can I make two Erevet Chumen, one for Thursday, one for Friday?
Yeah, because 2 days Yom Tov, every other Yom Tov aside from Rosh Hashanah, is not a Yom HaRichta. So you treat each day separately. And you make a separate Erevet Chumen for Yom Tov, a separate Erevet Chumen for Shabbat, because Shabbat is a Yom Tov, not Kedusha Achas. On 2 days Yom Tov, not Kedusha Achas. Only 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It's Kedusha Achas, so you cannot split it. You cannot make an Erevet Chumen for the first day Rosh Hashanah and a different Erevet Chumen for the second day Rosh Hashanah. Both days Rosh Hashanah treated as the same.
Can you make it today as Kedusha
Achas? Yeah. All the Yom Tov Shenis are B'Teres Sof. It's all Sveik of the Yom. But it's also only B'Teres Sofik. It's also only B'Teres Sofik. The Chasam Sofer has such a long story. Shverech Chasam Sofer. There was a Maaseh Shehoyah that a man was sick and he was about to die on the second day Shavuot. And he had no children. He had no descendants at all. He had no children. He was going to die. His wife would need chalitza and it would be a bitter amaisa. She would have great difficulty getting the chalitza. So the shaila was, is there any way to be makel to write a get and to give a get on Yom Tov? So if you can ask a goy to write a get, then maybe ask a Shabbos goy. A goy writes a get, it's possible. The get has to be written l'shmo. So you have to have a yid to write the get. It has to be a frumli yid. You can't get on the chal Shabbos, but you have to have a frumli yid to write the get. So you lie to get a yid to write a get on the second day of Shavuot. So one of the rabbonim in Hungary was so concerned about the aguna, the woman's going to be an aguna. So he said, the second day Rosh Hashanah is a real stake of the yom. The second day Pesach, the second day Sukkah is, every second day Yom Tov is a real stake of the yom. Second day Shavuot is, the Rambam is bothered with Akasha, it doesn't make any sense. Shavuot is, how can it be a stake of the yom? Shavuot is the 50th day after Pesach. They still didn't know when it takes a while till they find out when Rosh Chodesh was. They still didn't find out when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. It's already 2 months. It's already 2 months after, 2 months and 5 days after Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Shavuot. So they must have found out all over the world, the Rambam asked. They must have found out already when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. Once you know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, you know when Pesach was supposed to be. And the main thing, you know when Shavuot is. Shavuot doesn't depend on what day of the month it is. It depends on Sfiras Omer. So why do you ever have the Rambam as bothered with the Kasha? Why do you ever have a Yom Tov Sheni Shal Shavuos? So the Rambam says, Taka doesn't make any sense. There really shouldn't be a Yom Tov Sheni Shal Shavuos. But the Chacham made a Takana Aloy Plug in order that people shouldn't get confused. I think you don't need a second day Sukkot and a second day Rosh Hashanah and a second day Pesach. So they said, we want you to observe a second day Shavuos also. But the Paskim say, La Lacha, whenever you have a Takana de Rabbanon, that really it doesn't have a good reason for this takon. It's only because of a loy plug, not to get confused with another one. So it's a weaker din the rabbanon, and there's more room to negotiate to be makel. So one of the gedolim, one of the talmid chachamim in Europe, wasn't a reform rabbi, an orthodox rabbi. He said it's only a loy plug. Said such a shas atchak, an aguna, can a makel sign to have a Jew write the get, and the husband should give the get on Shavuot. So it started a whole machlokes of a chassam sofer. A typical Kerek Veltman, he held that he did wrong. Not so bored that he did wrong. Chassam Sofer held that he did wrong. So he wrote a whole tshuva, so he made it fakir. Since we all know that on Shavuos it doesn't make any sense, it must be that Shavuos is mocham. How does it all of a sudden become mocham? It's mokal. The first premise of the rabbi was that you can disagree with the second step. You can say, just because it's mokal and there's more room to negotiate, so this is too much. This is too much negotiations here. That he gave everything away. How is he? How does he allow a Jew to write the get and to give the get on Yom Tov? We can already see. But to write the get to do a malacha, that's too much of a kula. So he can disagree. So Sam Sofer disagreed with the first premise. He says, no, because it's Yodua, that the second day Rosh Hashanah, the second day Shavuot, there's no real reason why you should observe a Sfeika de Yoma. So it must be that they instituted it B'Toras Vaday, not B'Toras Sofik, and it's going to be more chomer than every other Yom Tov. You don't find anywhere that it's more chomer. That's what the other Rav said. Why shouldn't he have the right to be mezalzel? So of course, poskim do say, other poskim write about in other contexts. They write, whenever there's a din derabbanan, that's only a light plug, so it's a lower level. It shouldn't have that. I mean, these others write on that it should not have the same strictness as the real din that has a real good reason.
You take away from the real din.
Yeah.
If the real din and the then you weaken the other one.
You have to have the dinim derais have to be on a higher pedestal. The dinim derabbanan with a strong reason have to be a little lower. The dinim derabbanan with a weaker reason a little lower. And the dinim derabbanan that really doesn't have a good reason at all. So look, that should be lower. You have to have madregas. It doesn't necessarily follow that you can write a get. But hasvara no sen is that there should be more room to be makel on something on the second issue. Anyways, the Ili Gemara has two memories, one after the other. The first memory is that when you have Yonta falls out on Thursday and Friday, and he should have made an Erev, he wants to make an Erev Tchumen for Shabbos. He forgot to make it on Wednesday, so he's permitted to make it on Thursday and Friday, Allah tonight. Let him make it on Thursday, Allah tonight. If today's Yonta, I'm not doing anything. And if today's not Yonta, but tomorrow's Yonta, here I'm now making an Erev Tchumen for Shabbos. Then he repeats it again on Friday. If today's Yonta, I'm not doing anything, I already made Erev Tchum yesterday, and if yesterday was Yontif and today is Chol, so I'm making Erev Tchum today. So that's the first Madama says you can make an Erev Tchum in Allah tonight. And Rava says, Omar Rava, Minichar Erev Tapshilim Yontif Chaver Amasna. And Rava says a little differently. He doesn't take a stand on Erev Tchum. He takes a stand on Erev Tapshilim. He wants to cook on Friday for Shabbos, so he's supposed to make Erev Tapshilim on Wednesday on Erev Yontif, so he forgot. The Chacham forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. So he makes a declaration, so let him set aside some cooked food on Thursday, and let him say like this, if today is Yontif, so tomorrow is Chol, so I don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. And if tomorrow is Yontif, and I need an Erev Tavshilin, so if tomorrow is Yontif, today, Thursday, is Erev Yontif. So Erev Yontif, I'm making my Erev Tavshilin. So in such a case, it says, the Mogen Avraham says, when you make the Erev Tavshilin, you don't say Bracha. Because then you're making Allah tonight. You say, if today's Yontif, if tomorrow's Yontif. So you're not sure if you're making. He says, if today's Yontif, tomorrow's Chol, then I don't need an Erev Tavshil. If tomorrow's Yontif, today is Erev Yontif, so I'm making an Erev Tavshil, and maybe yeah, maybe no. So in such a case, the Magen Avraham quotes one of the Rishonim here, Rosh Hashmi, I think, that you make the Erev Tavshil without a Brachas. Rabbi Kevegi asks, so whenever you make the Erev Tavshil on Wednesday, why don't you always make without a Brachas? Maybe really Yontif is Thursday and Friday is Chol, you didn't need an Erev Tavshilin? No, that's not a kasha, that's a chalamot. Every Yontif Sheni, you always say a bracha on all the mitzvahs on Yontif Sheni. That's the regular takana of Yontif Sheni, but if you're making an Erev Tavshilin ala tanai, you're not sure if you're making an Erev Tavshilin. Maybe it's not even needed. Then you leave out the brach. That's the Magen Avraham, then you leave out the brach. So these two memories are basically the same. The first memory was Amar Abchei Barashi make an Erev Tchumen.
If we were Tchumen, you would make a
bracha. When would you be saying the bracha? Says the bracha on Thursday. Does he say the bracha on Friday? He's not sure when he's saying the bracha. I don't know if he says the bracha in such a way. Probably also not. So the first memory was
the bracha on your matin, the regular, but the bracha itself.
The bracha is not me'ake, no, the bracha is not the matir. No, the Erev Tchumen itself is the matir, even if you didn't say bracha. Once you're making an Erev Tchumen, say bracha along with it. Yeah. Somebody doesn't say bracha, because each day is a suffix. But I'm going to say, maybe yesterday was the Erev Tchumen, so it says the bracha today, maybe for yesterday. Some a day later, you don't say bracha. If a person did a mitzvah and he realizes later he didn't say a bracha, so if it's soon after, so let him say a bracha. Machlokes, the Rambam and Tosis, can you say a bracha? L'chatzilis posiyol brachas over lasiyosim. Immediately prior. It's not koidim, it's over. Over means immediately before you're about to do the mitzvah. What if he didn't say the bracha before? Can you say the bracha after? So the Rambam says no. You say bracha after his bracha levatola, masha osa osa. Shein pratik, prafalm. He already did the mitzvah, it's too late to say the bracha. And there are more, in Ilchus Shchitin, Yeridei, Simon Yutes, Paschans like the Balei HaTesis, but yeah, you may say the bracha l'achar asiyosim. There has to be within reason. Not that yesterday I made an Erevet Chumen and I didn't say a bracha because I wasn't sure whether the Erevet Chumen was good or not. So today I'll make it, today it's going to be for sure. So today I'll make it Allah tonight. So yesterday was good, so I don't need it today. Yesterday was nothing, so I'm making it today. So I'll say a bracha today. To cover yesterday's Eretz Chumen, it's done 24 hours later. Tignes, that's 10 minutes late. You can say bracha. Not 24 hours later, you can't say bracha. Okay. If you do all the Eruvin together, yeah. If you make an Erev Tavshilin and an Erev Chatzeres and an Erev Chumen all together, say one bracha on mitzvah say. Okay, you can say one bracha. See, these are the two memories. The first Amora says you can make an Erev Tchumen ala tanai when it's Thursday and Friday. And the second Amora, Rava says you can make an Erev Tavshilin ala tanai. So the Gemara says they don't necessarily agree with each other. Even though they really both make sense, because it's Tachmin Manavshah. It can't be that it's Thursday and Friday are both Kodesh. The Chachamim did not. That's Rosh Hashanah. They're both Kodesh. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRichta. The first day is Yom Tov Menater. The second day is Yom Tov Menater. Rabbanan B'Toras Vada. But every other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, they didn't institute a B'Toras Vada. It was instituted B'Toras Mimanav Shach. Either the first day is Kodesh or the second day is Kodesh. But not that both are Kodesh. Not like Rosh Hashanah. So it really makes sense that they're both right. You should be able to make an Erev Tchumen ala tanai. You should also be able to make an Erev Tavshilin ala tanai. But the Gemara says not necessarily so. Mandi Yom Erev Tchumen, the first Mandoma. We said you're even allowed to make an Erev Tchumen ala tanai on Thursday and Friday for Shabbos. Koshken, he will say that you're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin ala tanai. But Mandi Yom, the second one, Rava, who said you can make an Erev Tavshilin ala tanai, maybe Aval Erev Tchumen loy, he will not necessarily agree with the first mandama. Why? Why is it Mochama my timer? Why should you say, what's wrong with making Erev Tchumen ala tanai? Either today or tomorrow, some imam shal. He's not violating anything. So the Gemara says, no. It's a little Mochama. Why? Because Nelnikni Shvisa b'Shabbat loy. What's the Yisr involved? If you make an Erev Tavshilin, if you make an Erev Tavshilin when you're not supposed to. So let's say you make on the first day for the second day. You make on the first day on to make an Erev Tavshilin for the second day. So what have you violated? What other did you do already? Hachone, what did you do? You did, you were Mechen, you made a Heter on the first day for the second day. You can call it Hachone, Hachone de Rabbi, he made a Dovah Chodesh, he made a Heter, okay. But that's the worst you can call it. He did a Hachone. But over here, if he makes an Erev Tchumen when he's not allowed to, Kenyan. It's like Kenyan. It's a more serious violation. You made like Mekecha Memka. It's considered on Koina Shvisa in that location, and therefore I have the Tchum Shabbos around that location. So that's considered. Everything we're talking about is only the Rabbanon. We're not talking about any biblical violations of it. We're talking on the level of the Rabbanon, which is Mohammed, which Adin Deraisis, Adin Deraisis. They're all on the same level of severity. But we're talking Dinim the Rabbanon over here. So the Gemara has senses. Then maybe to create a heter of Erev Tchumen is a stronger violation than to create a heter of Erev Tavshilin. Because Mikra, then you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. You don't even, you don't need an Erev Tavshilin. It's only needed in the Rabbanon. What's the reason with the Rabbanon? The Gemara gave different reasons for the Takana, and not to forget, you should need up all the food on Yom Tov, leave something over for Shabbos, or to remind you, as soon as to remind you, that don't forget, we don't want you to cook for Chol. So we tell you, you shouldn't even cook for Shabbos unless you make an Erev Tavshilin. Kavachayim, you'll be mindful not to cook for Chol. So just a reminder. Either it's a reminder, the Erev Tavshilin is either a reminder not to eat up all the food on Yom Tov, leave something over for Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos, or a reminder, don't forget, don't cook on Yom Tov for Chol. Just a reminder. The other one is a real din. Erev Tchumen is a real din. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. You make an Erev Tchumen, that's matter you to go chutz l'tchum. So it's really, that's a real heter. You're really making a real heter. The other one is just a reminder not to do something wrong. But basically, he's not doing anything wrong. He did make the Erev Tavshilin and he's going to cook anyway. See, it was over on a Takanas Chachamim. but it's not as serious as Erev Beit Kumin. So that's what the Gemara says. Maybe the one that's more serious, maybe it's not right to rely on this Mimonim Shach. Even though, strictly speaking, it is a perfect Mimonim Shach, still it doesn't look nice. So that's how we pass it. We pass it that when you have 2 days Yontif, Thursday, Friday, and you forgot, and you were supposed to make the Erev Beit Kumin on Wednesday, you're supposed to make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday. So if you got both, so the Erev Tavshilin, we would allow you to make Allah tonight. Make it on Thursday, make it on Friday. Manav Shach, no brache, shayn. But to make the Erev Beit Kumin Allah tonight, that we wouldn't allow. We pass him like this distinction. Then the Gemara speaks, continues on the theme. If you have, what's it then if you have 2 days Yontif, a chutzlar? If you have 2 days Yontif, or if you have an Eretz Yisrael, you have Rosh Hashanah 2 days Yontif in a row. See, this is a Tana Rabbanan, it's a Tasefta. A Tasefta is from the Tanaim. So most of the Tanaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. There were a few Tanaim who lived in Bavel, but most of the Tanaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he's talking about 2 days Yontif, one next to the other. So it could be he's talking about 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It could be he lived in Bavel, or it could be he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he's telling the dinim for the Bnei Bavel. Whatever it is, here it's an interesting Tosefta talks about, yeah, Mishnah is also talking about 2 days Yontif. So Tosefta talks about 2 days Yontif. What's the din? You're not allowed to cook Yontif for Chol. What about to cook today Yontif for today? Today for today, this is the Chaposik and Chumash. Eichel Nefesh. Achash Yochel Chol Nefesh. Bulavado Yosel Lachem. But what about to cook on the first day Yontif? For the second day Yontif, are you allowed to do that? So the Braisa says, no, of course not. The first day Yontif is Yontif Deraisa. The second day Yontif is only make-believe Yontif in the Rabbanan on the level of Deraisa. The second day Yontif is really Chol. So you're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Chol. So that's the Braisa, Enoifim Yontif Lahaver. If the second day is Erev Shilin, if you made an Erev Tavshilin, yeah, if you made an Erev Tavshilin. But this goes some 2 days Yontif, not next to Shabbos. Some, if you have 2 days Yontif, Monday and Tuesday. If you have 2 days Yontif, Monday and Tuesday, are you allowed to cook on the first day for the second day? So it says no, because the first day is Yontif, and the second day is Mamish Chol. So you're not permitted. I know if you're Yontif, Lachaveiroi. But nonetheless, even though you're not allowed to cook on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif, this applies also to Rosh Hashanah. Some Achrenim questioned it. The Pasha said, even Rosh Hashanah, when it's the Torah's Vadai, and the second day Rosh Hashanah is not a Sfeika Diyayma, either this day or that day. They're both Kodesh Vadai. The first day Rosh Hashanah is Kodesh Min HaTorah, second day is Kodesh Min HaRabbanan, they're both Kodesh Vadai. But still, self-concept, the second day is Chol Min HaTorah. It's only Yontif HaRabbanan. So you're not allowed to cook on Yontif Deraisa, for Yontif HaRabbanan. Some Achrenim HaMeiko. Some say on the first day Rosh Hashanah to the second day Rosh Hashanah, you are allowed to cook. Why? Because Yom HaRichta. How can you say Yom HaRichta to be Masher and Issa Deraisa? How can you say Yom HaRichta? But it's only Midi Rabbanan. So the answer is no, because cooking on Yontif for Chol itself is only an Issa Derabbanan. Because Min HaTorah we pass in Hoyer. Whatever you cook, let's say a balabosta goes to work all week long and she has off on Shabbos and Yontif. So she's planning to have a chasana, a sheva brach, a bar mitzvah or something. So she has off on Yontif, so she wants to do all the baking on Yontif for the sheva brach that's next month, or for the bar mitzvah that's going to be next month. So the Gemara says that Min HaTorah it's mutter. Why? Oifim Yontif l'chol. Why? Because since theoretically she could have eaten everything, if she could invite everybody to her home on Yontif, if she lives in a community where there are enough people, it depends how many Jews live in her neighborhood. If she has enough Jews in the neighborhood who can eat up all the food on Yontif, so then it's considered Oichal Nefesh, even though she befavish does not have that in mind. She has in mind to put this away in the freezer and to eat it next month, but still, that's the Machlokes in the Gemara. We passed him, you don't need Kavanas HaGavra to set it up as Oichal Nefesh. It sets itself up automatically. Any food that's cooked on Yontif that could theoretically be eaten on Yontif, that's covered with the heter of Oichal Nefesh. Yeah, that's what Tosfos writes on the first daf. If you live in a little village and there just are not enough Jews to eat it all up on Yontif, so then there's no hetera. You can't say it sets itself up as Eichel Nefesh. You couldn't. It's not shaykh that the people would eat up all the food on Yontif. So some Achrayim write like that. Since the whole prohibition of cooking on Yontif for Chol is only Midir Rabbanan, Min HaTorah we just ignore your Kavanas HaGavra. Since Min HaTorah, since it's possible to eat up all the food on Yontif by Yidin, so the case sets itself up as an Eichel Nefesh case. So Min HaTorah there's nothing wrong cooking on Yontif for Chol. But to cook on the first day Rosh Hashanah to the second day Rosh Hashanah, is mutter. That's how some achrayim want to say. Why? Because he says yoyimai richter. How can you say yoyimai richter to be mater and isa deraisa? He says you're not mater and isa deraisa. On the level of deraisa is mutter anyway. You're just being mater and isa derabanan, not to rely on hoyil. Then I tell you, you do rely on hoyil. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. Generally accepted is that you're not allowed to cook on the first day for the second day, even on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a yoyimai richter or not. Could be an Eretz Yisrael on Rosh Hashanah, right? Or it could be they're talking about Babel. We have Mishnahs, but they talk about 2 days ago. Yeah. See, I raised the issue with Tanoim. How did it, are the Tanoim ever talking about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias and Chutz Laaretz? I raised the issue because there is a Mishnah, Mishnah in Shabbos and Ablezer Demila, and Mishnah in Erech, and the exact same Mishnah talks about a baby boy is born, so you perform the bris milah a week after. He's born on Wednesday, you do the bris on Wednesday if he's up to it. Baby's born on Shabbos, you do the bris on Shabbos. Milah bizman is there for Shabbos. What if the chacham of a baby is born bein hashmashes? So you can't do the bris on the earlier day. Maybe it's too early. It's the seventh day. So you do on the next day. So if the next day is Shabbos, technically you're not allowed to do a bris on Shabbos. Maybe you have milah shlo bizman. Maybe he was really born on Friday. The chacham, the kid was born Friday evening bein hashmashes. So we're not sure to treat it as if he was born on Friday, he was born on Shabbos. So maybe he's considered born on Friday, to me, Lushlab is not on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do. So you do the bris on Sunday. What happens if Sunday is Yontif? So you're not allowed to do a me, Lushlab is not on Yontif, you got to wait till Monday. What do you do if this Monday is also the second day of Rosh Hashanah? What if Rosh Hashanah is Sunday and Monday? Oh, yes, it never happens. You never have it. But the Mishnah has, yeah. We don't have it, but the Mishnah has like that. What if Rosh Hashanah falls out to be Sunday and Monday, so the bris will be on Tuesday. That's what the Mishnah says. So there's a famous machlekes, the Rosh and the Rambam. The Mishnah only says if it's Rosh Hashanah. What if a regular Yontif, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, something else, not Rosh Hashanah? So some Rishonim say, well, the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael, they can't talk about 2 days Yontif. The only Yontif they can talk about 2 days is Rosh Hashanah. They're not going to talk about any other Yontif. The din is the same. But others say, no, the din is not the same. The Tanoim would have spoken about it because they would have told you about Pesach. The reason why they said Rosh Hashanah is because second day Rosh Hashanah is more chomer. If it would be any other Yontif Sheni, you would perform a Milo Shalom Bizman. Even though I know for sure the kid wasn't born on Monday. He was either born on Friday or Shabbos. He wasn't born on Monday. So it's clearly a Milo Shalom Bizman. So other Rishonim hold a Milo Shalom Bizman is Mutar and Yontif Sheni Shagot. So there in Shabbos and in Erechim, when that Mishnah appears, there is a machlokes in the Rishonim. Does it make sense that a Tana will talk about Yontif Sheni Shel Golias for Chutz Laaretz? He didn't live. Most of the Mishnayos, they didn't live in Chutz Laaretz. They lived, most of the Tana lived in Eretz Yisrael. The some Rishonim say, why not? They knew that the Jews in Chutz Laaretz were observing Yontif Sheni, so they got to say what the dinim are. And others say, no, the Tana lived in Eretz Yisrael. A consideration, but that's the machlokes of Rishonim. That case is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh. Every Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, are you permitted to do a Mila Shaloi Bizmana that I know is Vadai Postol? I know for sure it's Vadai Postol. So if it's, let's say the baby was born last week at Ben Hashmashis, so that we're not sure whether the Mila Bizmana is the first day Pesach or the second day Pesach. Okay. Oh, so then you may, why? Because the Poskim, all the Poskim say, Dos Haistas Feksvek, maybe you hit the jackpot, maybe it's a Mila Bizmana. Maybe it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, maybe even if yesterday was supposed to be the Mila Bizmana, first day Pesach, maybe the din is that Mila Shalai Bizmana is Mutar on Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. So if you have a suffix Milo Bizmana, Milo Shlo Bizmana, Yontif Sheni, then all the posts can say that that's Mutar. In some communities and broilers, they wouldn't do it anyway. They don't follow, they don't go for these sex things.
You have a proof that the second day of Yontif in a certain places, we give up, we are very medical, just like the first road to get.
Right. The rock pool. The rock pool, yeah.
Open the Pesach, why don't you open the Pesach?
So that's a problem. You can't open too much of a Pesach or the whole din will fall apart. But we know for sure that there are certain kulas on Yontif Sheni. They're afraid. If you give a finger, they'll take a hand. So they're afraid to be mezuzah. But in all the classical poskim, that's what it says.
They bury the
mess.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Kvura they have. Yeah.
No,
we don't do Kvura second day yontif because of Moshe Feinstein said we learned the Gemara. Because Moshe Feinstein said the whole heter to do a levaya on the second day yontif is because the body is going to disintegrate. It's going to be bizoina made. But behind that we have freezers, so nothing's going to disintegrate. So leave the body in the freezer. Wait till after yontif. So Moshe just says you have to update the halacha. You have to see what is the heter based on. A heter doesn't apply to manazah. So blight on isa, you're not allowed. So the others say, how can you say like that? How can you take a Gemara and say that it doesn't apply to Zmanazah? Why not? It depends what the reason for the din is. If the reason doesn't apply, so the din doesn't apply, whether a Kula or a Chumra. You have to analyze every din. What is it based on? So this machlokes, whether you're allowed to do a Milo Shalot Zmanah, Yontav Shenish Al Goli, is the Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shilpi. So he claims the root of this machlokes really is, what is the level of severity of Yontav Shenish? There is a famous dispute, and we've shown him, well, the Yontav Sheni is a din derabbanan, and the Yontav Sheni is a minig. So he says that Yontav Sheni is a minig. How can you have a minig not to perform a milah? If I couldn't do the milah yesterday, the kid was either born on Friday or Shabbos. He was born Ben Hashmosh, in between Friday night coming into Shabbos. So I couldn't do the bris on Friday. Couldn't do the bris on Shabbos because of Sotik Midrashlam. Couldn't do on the first day Yontav on Sunday. The second day. So do the bris already. So he said, no, we have a minig not to do malacha. You have a minig not to do malacha, so you're going to postpone a bris another day. This is a real din. When a minig comes in conflict with the real din, you have to keep the real din. That's how the Netziv says. And he says, the other Rishonim hold wrong. Yontav Sheni Shal Goli said, Takona de Rabbonim. So, Yeshkach, the Achachamim, Lakadov, and Ator, Bishavi, Altaf. Sometimes the Chachamim, very often, most of the time, the Chachamim make Exer de Rabbonim, so Chachamim, Hamidu Devrei, Mamakam Mitzvah, they said, you have to observe Yontav Sheni, even though it means to postpone the bris another day. It's it claims that's the machlokes. Could be that that's part of what's at least part of what's involved. Whether Yom Tov is a minig or a takana.
So to miss Noma, they used to say in Europe, a minig brecht adin. That's cannot be true.
A minig brecht adin for sure is not correct. There is a mocker though. The mocker, I should talk to explain that. The Mishnah in Bav Metzia. Bav Metzia is Nezikin, Dini Mamun, keep in mind. So the Mishnah Bav Metzia says like this. There's a pasuk in Baruch Nafshi that we recite on every Rosh Chodesh. It says, Yetzi Adam Lefolo V'Lavodosei Adai Orev. So the Gemara learns out the halacha from that pasuk that the worker, if I am employed by a boss and he pays me by the day, by the week, the halacha says I have to work from Alois HaShachar till Teis HaKachom. If it's a short day, I'm lucky. If it's a long day, the balabos is lucky. That's the halacha. Unless the balabos says you work from 9 to 5, I don't care when sunrise is, when sunset is, it's 9 to 5 and an hour break for lunch. So if he makes it tonight, he is good. So what happens, I get a job, and the boss tells me he's paying me so much per week, and he never said what the hours are. But the whole, the minigamdin, everybody works from 9 to 5. People know when sunrise is, when sunset is, when say sakram, aloha tashachar. Nobody knows when it is. Comes the end of the week, I work from 9 to 5, I put in a good day's work. Comes the end of the week, so I tell the boss, I want you to pay. The boss says, what do you mean? You didn't come in at Alois HaShachar, you didn't stay till Teis HaKachavim, I'm going to dock you from your pay. You didn't put in. I say, I've never heard of it. He says, a Pasuk, a Mishnah, it's a din. So I say, but the Minigam Dina, Minigam Dina is no one works from Alois HaShachar to Teis HaKachavim. So the Mishnah says, Hakol Kaminigam Dina. If the Minigam Dina is he works from 9 to 5 with an hour break in the middle, so that's self-understood, even though the boss never said. Self-understood as if they wrote a contract, as if he said. Unless he doesn't want the kafim in Gavdin. Zolazogn, he wants them to come. Malos HaShachem, it's Tetel says to him. So the Rishami says on that Mishnah, Zoysay Meres, Minig, Oika Halacha. A Minig brecht adin. Why? Because the din should have been Amoitzim Echaveroi, all of Araya. The boss wants to get paid money, the worker wants his salary from the boss, it's in the boss's bank account. So the boss is the chamuchzer. The worker says, pay me a full salary. The boss says, you didn't put in a full day's work. You didn't work from Alois HaShachar to say, so I'm going to dock you. So the worker is the chamuchzer. So let him prove that it was, that the agreement was from 9 to 5. So the dinzi doesn't have to prove. The burden of proof is on the boss. Why? Because the minig is that everybody works from 9 to 5. So that Yerushalmi simply means, whatever is the minigam dina is itself understood. Kilo, they had specified explicitly that the hours are 9 to 5. That's where it comes from, that a minig brechta din. That's the only case in the zikin and dinim moment is a minig brechta din. Whatever the minig amdina is, it's self understood that that's those, it's as if they had made it tonight that that's what they want. But if you have a real din and you have a real minig, so a minig is not yoker a din. Minig can't be yoker a din. He said that what? That if Yantav Sheni is a minig, Tais Vashit is Yantav Sheni is only a minig, yeah. Rosh Chodesh, there never was a din that you say halal. Rosh Chodesh, there never was a din. The whole thing started off, Rosh Chodesh exists. That's a real din deraisa. There is a biblical institution of Rosh Chodesh. But reciting halal on Rosh Chodesh, that's only a minik. So because it's only minik, so you only say chatzi halal. Because you're not allowed to say halal shalom on a day when you're not obligated to. You're not allowed to volunteer to say halal shalom. But here, the first day on there's a real din you have to say halal. Either a din deraisa, probably a din derabbanan, Moshe Shonim, halal yontif is derabban. So that's a real din, you have to say halal shalom. And then the either the minig has it or a din the rabbanon has it, that the second day we treat the same as the first day. So everything we do on the first day, we do on the second day. You grab a seder, you say brach al achilas matzah, al achilas mar. Tesis claims the fact that we say al achilas matzah, al achilas mar, the second seder, the second seder is only a minig. Tesis holds the whole Yom Tov Sheni is only a minig. They say the fact that you say brach is a haychoche, that you say brach on a minig. So that's Tais's proof that you say a brach and chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, because all the brachas that we say, the Kiddush and the Musaf, the Kedavri, everything we do on the second day Yontif, Tais's says is only a minik. The Gemara says in the beginning of Beitza, we should continue to observe Yontif Sheni Shal Gol, even though we have a printed luach. We know 100 years in advance which year is going to be Hashanah Mulberis, which is going to be Hashanah Pshuta, when the Bar Mitzvah Parsha, when the kid is born, they can already tell you when the Bar Mitzvah Parsha is going to be, what Goyisha date it's going to correspond to, and so on and so forth. Everybody has the calendar printed in advance. So what do you still observe? Yantav Sheni Shal Golis, what's the sake of the Yoyma? So the Gemara says, Yizor the minig of the Seichem B'yadechem, we should continue the minig. The Taisus took the Gemara at face value. It's a minig. The Yantav Sheni is a minig. The other Rishonim say, no. The word minig doesn't mean custom. Minig means a practice. You should continue the observance and the practice of Yantav Sheni. It's a takona de rabbanon to continue the observance of Yantav Sheni, despite the fact that we know when Yontif is and it's no longer a speck of the earth. So that was a fundamental machlok, whether Yontif Sheni Shal Golis is only a minik, so it's a real takkan of the rabban. Right, so obviously they think it's not a minik, they think it's a real takkan. Exactly, that's a good proof. The Rambam, I mean the Rambam was a Sfardi. The Rambam writes, he don't say brahan halach chatzi halach rosh chodesh because it's only a minhog. And you can't say Kedushan Sasa Vitzivon or Sinishke Mitzvah Deraisa Sinishke Mitzvah Derabonon. It's only a minhog back when you say Birchas HaMitzvah. Nonetheless, the Rambam himself says that you say all the brachas by the second Seder, you say all the brachas on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So the Rambam's answer given in the Rambam is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is a takona. It's not a minhog. The Rambam holds the favors like that. Taisus are the ones. Taisus started off with their premise. So Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is only a minhog. So they prove from there that you say brach on a minhog. Yeah. That's the shaila, let's say, to say halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So the Rabbanut never made a takana. When they asked the shaila, they never made a takana. But they never made a takana, so some held it's a chiv deraisa. One of the gdolim from the Rabbanut, no. But Meshulam Roth, man, an Odom Godom Yoy, he's a goyim adir. He was a goyim adir. He wrote a tshuva. He said, you don't have to make a takana, he had a chasam sefer that it's a din deraisa. Okay, that was his opinion. Most didn't agree. Chassam Sefer Taka says it, but most find Chassam Sefer hard to believe. It's not his fault. It's not Rav Shulam Roth's fault. It was Chassam Sefer's fault. Chassam Sefer says whenever there's Yeshua, Chassam Sefer claims Halal Chanukah is their Isa. So Rav Shulam Roth says Halal and Yom Ha'atzmaut is also their Isa. So if you don't accept the Chassam Sefer, so then the Shiloh.
Why that day? That day wasn't the day of success.
Okay. It's another discussion. Okay. A good point. Another discussion. So the question is, most people recite Halal and Yom Ha'atzmaut as a minig. They don't really do it thinking like the Chassam Sofer that it's a real din there. I said nobody made any takonis, so they do it as a minig. So the shayla is, does it make sense to say a brach over a minig? Does it make sense? The Taisa says yes, that we always do. The Ashkenazim say a brach and a chatzi halal and Rosh Chodesh, which the Gemara says clearly is only a minig. That's a beferish Gemara. That's not a machlokes. Reciting Halal and Rosh Chodesh is only a minig. That's a Gemara.
So that.
Right, that's what they tie it. That's what Moshe Tzvina Riyatayna. If you follow the Kol Mavaster, if you follow Meshulam Roth, who said based on Achsan Sefer that you mechuyiv Medina der Raisa to say hello, said you mechuyiv to say hello Shalom with a bracha, right? But he said once you hold that that you're not mechuyiv, it's only a minute that you're volunteering hello. So that was Rav Neria's taina. So then it's not right to recite hello Shalom. You should only say chatzi hal. That's what the Rav. Different times he did different things. Sometimes said hello Shalom with a bracha, without a bracha, no bracha, tachnun, yeah, slichas, hello, everything. Different times in his life he held different positions. But the last couple of years of his life, he recommended that those who want to say hal should say chatzi hal without a bracha, chatzi hal without a bracha. That's what he said the last couple of years. The earlier years he did not say like that, but that's the later years. That's what he said. So the chatzi hal was because of this, because he felt that you can't say yemachuyev. You're just volunteering. Whenever you're volunteering, so the maximum you can say is a chatzi hal.
Yeah, but it seems to be like the first 10 years they're very strict to say ganz hal. If a mess after 50 years, it's diluted
excitement.
It dissolved a little bit. It's not such a big miracle to accept it like this. But the first 5-6 years, it was very, very strict. It was very.
Yep. So Nachamot, so the Mishnah says you're not allowed, the Braisa, Tosefta. Not allowed to cook on the first day Yontif or the second day Yontif, and most assume that the same is true Rosh Hashanah as well. It doesn't only go on Yontif Sheni Shal Golis, even on Rosh Hashanah. When it's a Yom Arich also, most poskim assume you're not allowed to cook on the first day for the second day. However, there is a heter that goes as follows. Erev Tavshil doesn't help it. Erev Tavshil is only to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, not to cook on the first day Yontif for the second day Yontif. Can't use an Erev Tavshin, but there is a dreidel, there is a kunz. The Emes Amru, we have an old tradition. The Gemara says in one place, "Kol be'emes Amru halacha l'moshe misina." Whenever the Tanaim use such an expression, "be'emes Amru," means it's halacha l'moshe misina. How can you say halacha l'moshe misina about cooking on the first day yontif or the second day yontif? The whole second day yontif is only with the Rabbanon. What kind of halacha l'moshe misina? So the Rosh in Hilchas Mikvoes has a comment. When the Gemara said, "Kol be'emes Amru halacha l'moshe misina," means that it's such a strong tradition, it's a solid like the Rock of Gibraltar. It's like a halacha l'moshe. It doesn't mean that it's actually halacha l'moshe misina. It's solid. You can rely on it. No one's going to give you a hard time. The Emesom, we have a very strong tradition about how to make a dreidel. How can you make an etzit to cook on the first day yontif for the second day yontif? So the din is like this. Let's say the first day yontif, all we need is 2 pounds of flesh. The second day yontif, we need 2 pounds of flesh also. So the balabast, instead of taking 2 pounds of flesh out, let her take out one piece, 5 pounds piece of flesh. So she takes out from the freezer one piece of flesh and she puts it in the pot. It's twice as big as she needs. So that's permissible. That's called marbe b'shurim, to cook with the same amount of malacha. She's not cooking 2 pounds of flesh in one pot, 2 pounds of flesh in another pot, on two different burners. No! Then she's cooking, she's doing a malach on the first day yontif for the second day yontif, you're not allowed to do. She puts everything in one pot and then she puts it on the fire. She's only doing one act of bishul on all of the flesh. And then furthermore, Moshe Feinstein quotes from the Machtsa Shekel, the commentary on the bottom of the Magen Avraham, on the bottom of the page. But the Machtsa Shekel says, only if it's one piece. Let's say she'll take out one piece from the freezer, 2 pounds of flesh, then another piece from the freezer, 2 pounds. Or she'll take it all out together, then she'll put it into the pot. She'll put one piece of flesh, then another piece of flesh, then put the pot on the fire. So truth is only one malacha when you put it on the fire. One act of malacha is bishul, and all the 4 pounds, all the 10 pounds of flesh. But you did a hachana. When you took out the separate piece of flesh, or when you put the separate piece of flesh into the pot, this separate, then another separate, so that extra act that you're clearly doing for tomorrow, not for today, that's an act of hachana. Hachana, you're not allowed to do on the first day for the second day. Even just hachana to set the table, you're not allowed to do on the first day for the second day. To do a malacha on the first day for the second day is mochama. But to do a hachana on the first day for the second day is also forbidden.
But to take out one big piece of meat and cut it in half and put it into the pot, that's also one
big piece. Once, you mean you had to cut it in half in order that it should fit. So then, the minute I put in the first piece, so what am I putting in the second piece for? Only for tomorrow. Minatora, you say oil. Minatora, I can bake tons of food for Chol, for next month, not only for tomorrow, for next month. Because I say, since theoretically the Jews, I can invite everybody in the community, they'll all eat it up today, it sets itself up as Echol Nefesh, and you ignore the Kabbalah Sagavis. Lamala v'lamard, what he has in mind, because it sets itself up as Echol Nefesh, but that's only Mutam and Atarim. If they're Rabbanim, you're not allowed to rely on her. Unless it's a big Shas Atchak and a big Hefzid Mom, and then the Gemara says it'll be read back to the Dinderites. But the Rabbanim, they recommended that you're not, they said you're not allowed to rely on her. So that's the din. Be'emesam, we have an old tradition, strong like Halacha Moshe Sinai, that Mimala Ishu Kolak Dera Basar, she only needs one piece of flesh. She can put in a 10-pound roast even though she only needs 1 pound. She's going to eat the other 9 pounds during Yimei HaChol. She's going to eat it next week, 2 weeks from now. That's permissible as long as it's one piece, as long as she's not doing a separate bishul, a separate malacha, she's not doing a separate act of hachana. It has to be in one swoop.
The language mala isha kolak deva boso seems to be quite a few pieces too.
Sounds like it's separate pieces. The simple translation of the word sounds like it's separate.
But we can learn from the baker that it may be better to cook 5 pounds. It tastes better than to cook a little piece also.
Okay, okay. If that is the case, if that would be the case.
At the end of it would be the case.
Well,
so therefore, what's the problem? I don't think that poses a problem. I mean, the malach is occurring for 5 hours instead of 1 hour.
Right.
That doesn't pose a problem. As long as she only does everything in one act, she puts the pot in at one time, there's only one malach of bishul. Bishul is when you put it in. And there was no, that's what the machzah shekel adds on, even though the lotion.
It tastes better.
No, oh, so sometimes if you cook more altogether, everything blends into everything else. Sometimes it tastes better. The Gemara says the only time it'll taste better is if you're baking in chalalach, in an oven, and you have a lot of empty space there. So the Zman HaGemara used to plaster the challahs down on the sides of the oven. Then when it baked, they would scrape everything out to make sure it doesn't burn. So when you have more challahs baking at the same time, so you have less empty space and the heat is more concentrated, Rashi explained. So maybe everything will bake at a higher temperature. It's going to bake better. The crust will be tastier. So in that case, you're allowed to bake extra, even though you clearly don't plan to eat. If I think also muta, if honestly the balabasta thinks that guests may come, then she may cook extra. That's not that. Whenever there's a suffix oichal nefesh, you don't say suffix deraisa luchumer. Whenever there's a suffix, maybe people will come, she doesn't want to be left with nothing, so she's allowed to cook extra. Let's say she expects a few guests, she's going to make a couple of cookies. She only makes that number of cookies. She needs a couple of extra just in case a guest wants to eat another cookie. So she's allowed to bake berevach as much as she thinks that she may honestly need today. That's if she doesn't expect any guests. She really doesn't expect. And she's not interested in preparing at all for the possibility of guests coming today. They're just not going to come today. She's only cooking for tomorrow. Not because of the possibility for today. But still, you have the heter of marbe b'shiurim. If she does it all in one act of malacha and without an additional act of hachana.
What about the leftover for the first day? Leftover for sure
is no shayla. Whatever they cooked, whatever they cooked intending to eat today, and it's honestly it's leftover, that for sure is no shayla. Leftover is leftover that you can eat. Let's say a person forgot to make an erev tavshilin. And he cooked on Yontif and he has leftover. So that's no shaila. Whatever he left over, he can eat on Shabbos. That's not a problem. He didn't cook for Shabbos. He cooked on Yontif for Yontif, honestly, and then it turned out that he had leftover. So that's not a problem. Cook on Yontif for today, and then it turns out I have a lot left over because this one went in, that one then went in, this one didn't come, and the guest didn't come. So if it's left over, it's not a problem. The whole shot is I'm cooking on the first day beferish, intending for the second day. So how do you do that, Kunz? So if you do it with one Maisa Melocha and without an extra act of Hachone, so that too is permissible. So the Gemara has the Heter about putting in one piece of flesh, then the Heter Mamalei Nachtum Chodesh on Mayim. The baker wants to cook a whole big samovar of water. He only needs 20 cups of water for the first day. So what is he cooking so much water for? He wants to have the water already cooked on the first day for the second day. How is he allowed to do that? So the answer is, he puts the samovar under the faucet, he turns on the faucet. It's the same turning on under the faucet, whether you're going to fill it up one quarter full, you're going to fill it all the way. The same. Then he turns off the faucet. Then he puts this thing on the fryer. So he didn't do an extra malach. He didn't do an extra achana. Everything is the same.
Where did you get this? The next achana from the Gemara.
You know, it doesn't say in the Gemara. That's what the Machzah Shekel added that on. Ramosha quotes that lahalacha. He says you should pass like the Machzah Shekel. So you pointed out very well. The Loshana Brisa sounds fakir. The Malo Isha Kolak Derebosa sounds like you put in a few pieces of flesh separate. Is that Gerechta Taina? I don't know, but that's how Ramosha says be Paskin like that Master Sashekel. That you're not allowed to do an extra act of Hachone, even though it's not an additional act of Moloch. Not permitted to do the extra act of Hachone. So Mamale Nachm Chavishon Maim, he fills up the samovar full of water and he cooks the whole thing up. He only needs one little cup of water. And all the rest of the water is clearly for the second day Yontav of Fachol, not a problem. You're permitted to cook on Yontav Fachol, Agide Marbe Bishur. He needs a small amount for today. He cooks all of it, and the other stuff gets cooked automatically. Avol, however, the Brisa says, would the baker be allowed to bake 20 challahs on the first, separate, each challah separate? To knead each challah and to bake each challah, put it in and to scrape it out. Everything is a malacha. To knead it is a malacha of Lisha. And to put it into the oven is afia, to scrape it out is redia tapas, is an isa de rabbanon. Every step of the way there's another malach. So would you say you will add a bake 20 challahs on the first day al dashi, 10 tomorrow and 10 today? No. Each challah that you bake is another malach. That's not marbe b'shurim. Marbe b'shurim haste. I did one act, one malach, to a bigger amount of flesh, to a bigger amount of water as opposed to smoke. Here, every challah, I'm going to do another malach of lisha. Another malach of atziah, another Easter of redias hapas. So the Tanakhama says, Avalef is saying, Noyfel Amashit Tzorach Lo. You're only allowed to bake the amount of challahs that you need on the first day on the Reb Shimon Elazar. I remember Reb Shimon Elazar disagreed with the Tanakhama. He says, Mamali should call a Tanapash. She's allowed to fill in the whole oven with 20 challahs, even though she only needs one challah. Why? Because the 19 extra challahs and all the extra malachas that she's doing will enhance the flavor of the first challah that she wants to eat, because it'll be mamayit the empty space, the challah, and the heat will be concentrated, so the crust will be tastier. It'll be crustier. So this is a machlekes and its chief comments and its chidushim on the Masechta. This is a machlekes Tanakama of Shimon Allah's a machlekes Hatamayim. How do you understand Ochal Nefesh? Ochal Nefesh means I take raw food, which is inedible, and I cook and I make it edible. What if the food is tasty anyway? Am I allowed to do malacha to make it tastier? More gishmak. I want to do malacha to bake 19 extra challahs in order that the one challah that I need for Yantav should be gor gishmak. And if I wouldn't bake the extra 19 challahs, I would have one challah. It would be nice. It would taste good. Such a difference between a challah that's very crusty, the crust is very crusty, a challah that's baked nicely. Not such a big difference. Mufunokin can tell a difference. So the Tanakhama holds that's not enough to be considered Ochal Nefesh. Reb Shimon Elazar holds that it is enough. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbah, Alochik Reb Shimon Elazar, be passed like the second Tana, that it is considered Ochal Nefesh. Even
the
Dakas make a difference. Okay. Okay. You're right. I don't know. I think you would have the same machlokes if you would not accept toil. Toil is a machlokes hamaroyim. Rabba v'rachiz, the way they say ho. So most of the Rishonim passim like Rabba that you do say toil. But Rav Chizda doesn't hold from Rabba. Rav Chizda holds no such thing as toil. And still he sees that there's a machlokes satanai. So the machlokes, the koin k'rav chizda, is on the level of the raisa. Su das taste toichal nefesh tunisht. The thing tastes very good without the extra 19 chalas. But you add on another 19 chalas and makes the first chalas that you plan to eat on yontes gorgishma. So that slight difference between a tasty chalas and a very crispy chalas is a machlokes, whether that's sufficient reason to be matir a malach. So that's a machlokes, and we pass in
the but the head of ochel nefesh is to entice you for yom tov. You should have the best thing. Therefore, you have to not just to have the minimum, then you could eat cold food.
Okay.
Otherwise, they wouldn't give you a head to cook on yom tov.
Okay. Okay. Good. So you hold like Rava. You hold like the psak. That's the psak halacha. That ochel nefesh, you want to entice him to eat kishmaka food. The most kishmaka food. We cover yom. Okay. Now the Gemara has a shaila on the nature of the takana de rabban. Somebody forgot to make an erev tavshilin, so he's not allowed to cook on yonta for Shabbos. So what's exactly the nature of the dinim? Boilu, they had a suffix. Mishalo hiniach eruvei tavshilin, he forgot. What's the din? Should I say, hu nesar bikimchoi nesar, he's not allowed to cook on yonta for Shabbos, and his raw flour may not be used either to cook on yonta for Shabbos. Dilma, maybe I should say no. Who Nessa? He's not allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos, but his food ain't on Nessa. His kamach does not become Nessa. What's the doach hakira? What are they philosophizing over here? What's the nafkamina? Zog the Gemara lemai nafkamina. What's the difference? Laknuya kimcho la acherim. What does that mean? Can he give his flour to bake to someone else? Will it help, you mean?
Yeah.
Will it help? Here's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How do you read the Gemara? So Rashi learns, the question is it necessary? Is it necessary to give the flour to someone else? I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. Everybody else in the community made an Erev Tavshilin. I was busy on Erev Yom Tov doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin. So I'm stuck. So I'm not, my wife, no, I'm not allowed to do any malachas on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So if I want some, and everybody else did make an Erev Tavshilin, so Rashi learns that what? I'm not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Shaila is, can I ask someone else to cook my food for me? They did make an Erev Tavshilin. Can I ask my neighbors to be kind to me? They should cook my food. Or do you say,
using his flour.
I have to give his
flour. What about using my flour? That's the Shabbos. What about using my flour? Yeah, let's see the Rashi. The Rashi learns, the Shaila is, can I have the neighbor
bake for me?
Can I have the neighbor bake for me my flour, even if I'm not makna the flour to the neighbor? Or is it necessary to be makna the flour to the neighbor? Did the Chachamim go so far to say, kimcho ne'asar, as long as the flour belongs to me, even the people that made an Erev Tavshilin, I'm not allowed to cook the food for me? But he say, hu ne'asar, I didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, I'm not allowed to cook. But my kemach doesn't become osir. If another Jew didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, he can cook the food for me on Yom Tov Shabbos, and I don't have to be maknet to him. That was the shaila. Is it necessary to be maknet to somebody else, or it's not even necessary? Well, 1 minute. Let's see the Gemara. So that's the way the Gemara has the subject. L'may nafkemina, what's the difference? Is it necessary to be makna the kemach to others? What did Hut start him? I amid hu nesar the kimcha nesar. If he said the gzera was very chomer, then I'm not allowed to invite anybody else. I'm not allowed to ask anybody else to cook for me unless I'm makna the flour to them, so they're cooking their own food for me. Tzorach laknui kimcha lachem. However, the I amid, if he said the other hu nesar, I'm not allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. However, ein kimcha nesar, they never made a gzera. My flour may not be cooked for me. So let's talk. I don't have to be makna my flour to someone else. They made an Erev Tavshilin, so just like they can cook their food for themselves, they can come into my home and cook my food for me. I'm not allowed to cook the food. Anyone else made an Erev Tavshilin, they cook. So what's the din toshma? It says in the Braisa, whoever forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin has to be makna his flour matana to someone else who didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, and then and only then are they allowed to cook for me. So what do you see? Rashi learns, what do you see? What's the moral of the story? Who nesar v'kimchay nesar? Shma minor, Rashi has the girse. Who nesar v'kimchay nesar? Shma minor, kolzman, the flour belongs to me. Kolzman, the raw flesh, or the raw spaghetti, or the whatever it is, the water, belongs to me. Even the people that made an Erev Tavshilin I'm not allowed to cook my food for me. I have to be machna to them, and then they can cook it for me. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. Tosis is very upset about Rashi's pshat and Rashi's girsa. The way Rashi has the girsa, there are no two ways about it. That's what it says black and white. The Tosis over here, Iyamrit, Tosis doesn't like it. Tosis says, how can that be? Let's say, I'm not allowed to do a malacha on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Am I allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha for me? No. We have a couple of heterim. Sometimes you're allowed to have a goy shel Shabbat, a Shabbos. But basically, it starts off, there's an isna. Amir l'yachri is asr. So I'm not allowed to ask, when there's something I'm not allowed to do, I'm not allowed to ask someone else to do it for me. So Tosafot says, how can Rashi say, am I allowed to have the other fellow made an nefesh? Am I allowed to ask him to cook my food? Or he say, no, there's a new chumran, you have to be makna the food. Of course I'm not allowed to ask him to cook the food for me. So Tosafot says, no, the Gemara is stuff, the whole girsa is wrong, but Rashi says, it should read the following way. Will it even help? Calls man, the food belongs to me. That's out of the question. I'm not allowed to ask another Jew who made an Erev Tashilin that he should cook for me. There's no tzad in the world to say like that. The only shaila, the only suffix the Gemara had was, will it help if I'll give the food the matana to someone else? Maybe the Chachamim penalized me. Kimcha Nesar, even if I'll give it the matana to someone else, they're not allowed, even though they made an Erev Tashilin, they're not allowed to cook it for me. So the Gemara brings a price and no, they will never machna so much. If you give it away the matana to someone else, who nesa the ein kimcha nesa. So bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, comes out the same. Rashi and Tosafot said the same thing, bottom line. Whoever forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin is not allowed to ask another Jew to cook for him, even though the other Jew made an Erev Tavshilin, unless he's makna, unless he gives away the matana, the raw food, to the other Jew. Then the b'risa says, then the other fellows are
allowed. Maybe the Israeli who only keeps one day on to.
Okay. So now, exactly, that's exactly the machlokes Rashi and Tosafot. Let's say somebody is in Eretz Yisrael, a ben chutzlaret is in Eretz Yisrael. So when one visits Eretz Yisrael, so there's different opinions whether one who's only visiting does observe Yom Tov Sheni, does not observe Yom Tov Sheni. So let's say a person is visiting, he is observing Yom Tov Sheni. He's following that stuff. He is observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gavur. Is he allowed to ask someone else, a religious Jew who's an Israeli, to please drive me to the other side of the city? Let's say the other guy's driving anyway. Am I allowed to go along? Is there an Isra Amir Aliyakum? Is Nishkan Akum? Is that Chayid? So usually on Shabbos, is there an Isra Amir Aliyakum to Ayid? Erge, with Nibir Isita Mishal. I ask a Jew to drive me on Shabbos and Yom Tov is worse. So maybe they never made a prohibition of Amir Aliyakum Lagabi Jews. Either you have with Nibir and it's worse, or for some reason or another, by hook or by crook, there's no lif neither, so then there's no zera derabonim. Either it's asim and atar or it's mutar.
You have that on Friday night. You make Shabbos.
No.
Your neighbor makes Shabbos late.
Yeah.
That's Zichamuta.
During his man of Tosefta Shabbos, and ask a goy also. There's no Issa Amir Aliyakim either, because Amir Aliyakim is only a Gzeri. So the Gemara says, and he asked a Jew also to do a Malacha for you. But here's a Shaila, this is real Yontif, this is not Tosefta. This is real Yontif, so is there an Issa? So that's a Machlokes Achronim. The Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetim, and Hilchas Yontif, quotes this Machlokes. So years ago, apparently, 300-400 years ago, the Minig was in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have so many tours going back and forth. So the Minig was in Eretz Yisrael, Lahachmer on this, that Bnei Chutzlaret who were observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Gavur in Eretz Yisrael, most of the poskim assume that they're not allowed to ask a Jew, a religious Jew in Eretz Yisrael, to do a malacha for them on the second day Yom Tov. Most assume lechumah.
Did he volunteer?
He volunteers.
He's waiting for the elevator. He pushes the button. He's in there.
Yeah. If he goes on his own, I didn't ask him. Okay.
Are you kidding? Go ahead.
Yeah. Not a problem. Yeah. So that 300-400 years ago, the meaning was lahachmer that a ben chutzlaret is visiting Eretz Yisrael is not allowed to ask a Jew who only has one day yontif to do lachmer. And today the meaning is pretty much lahakel. I think most people are mekel on that. Most gedolim are mekel on that. That there's no iser amir liyakum to ask a yid to do a malacha for you. By me it's yontif sheni. By him it's not yontif sheni. So that's exactly the machlokes. Rashi and Tosafot over here. Rashi says lahakel. If you don't have a new chumra midirabanon, So Rashi learned there's no problem. I'm permitted to ask the Jew to bake the food for me. He made an Erev Tavshilin. I didn't make. Unless he come up with a new idea, who Nesar became Chanesar, if you don't have any newfangled ideas, the basic thing would be that you are right.
But it could be the Erev Tavshilin that he made was limited to his own needs only. He did not intend to say that I'm going to make the Erev Tavshilin and I'm going to cook the food of all New York. So therefore, the Erev Tavshilin that you make is limited to Tzokabai, Shilchad, it's all the things that you have in your house.
That's a good tainus.
Bringing new food in there is a achona.
That's a good tainus. The Gemara takes it for granted. So you're chapping the Gemara. The Gemara takes it for granted that if a person made an Erev Tavshilin, not only is he allowed to cook Sarchei Mishpachto, he's allowed to cook for all the people in the whole city also. So that's a tainus. How do they know that that's so? It's a good kasha. But that's what it says in the Gemara. That's what they take for granted, that that's permissible. It's a good tainus. That's a different shaila. If a ben Eretz Yisrael is in Chutzal Aretz, so it says he has to observe Yom Tov Sheni b'Farhesya. B'tzina he doesn't have to. So let's say it's b'tzina. So let's say Mesami should come to shul and dress up Yom Tov Dik. He shouldn't come in his dungarees and his vachadik at the Gogim. But when we're davening Mutzot and by him it's Chol, let's say the last day Yom Tov, by him it's Chol Amoit, so Zolo Gogim, let him say, let him say whatever Shmon Esri is supposed to say. If by us is young, by him is chol, so she comes to shul dressed nicely, but that's already bitzina, so let him say tilim, let him say something else. But the shaila is, let's say, as far as malacha is concerned, will be say, not allowed to do malacha b'farhesye, but he's allowed to do malacha bitzina. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote most of the posts and hold that malacha is always considered b'farhesye. Even if the Ben Eretz Yisrael is visiting Chutz Lord, is going to hide b'chadri chadorim and do a malacha, we consider malacha as always labeled as a farhes. Because somebody will always find out that the fellow did the malacha. He's going to talk on the telephone and make arrangements or do something, turn on the lights, turn off the lights. So we machmir can't even do a malacha for himself, it's in it, let alone to do a malacha for us. Not right. Not right, we should. Many people have the practice. Many bnei eretz and so on, they come to Chutzlah, have the practice. They ask, they volunteer. You want me to do any malacha for you? But the pashta says that they're not allowed to do it, even if no one is watching, they're not allowed to do it. What do you mean they're volunteering? Whatever you need, how can they volunteer? The pashta says that's not right, that you're not allowed to do it. There is a minority opinion, it's not that everybody holds in chumra. There is a minority opinion that a ben Eretz Yisrael who is visiting Chutz Lartz may do malacha betzina. Now betzina doesn't mean that nobody's watching. Betzina means when it's home, controlled atmosphere over here. And everybody knows that he's a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So let's say he's together with a family, and they all know he's from Eretz Yisrael. So there are poskim who hold that malacha bitzina is mutar. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. The pashtus is that we paskim that the malacha is always considered different. So this, just to review again, this is the machlekes Rashi and Tesis. Rashi assumes that there's no iser amira la'akum on a Jew. I'm not allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha with me. But to ask another Jew, either it's lifnei iver, of course it's not allowed, and if there's no lifnei iver, because for him it's not yontiv, it's a yontiv rishon, yontiv sheni, whatever, he made an erev and I didn't, then Rashi always had to go, no problem. And Teisa says, how can it be? How can it be? What do you mean? He's going to ask another Jew to do a malacha, but I'm not allowed to do, how can I ask another person to do? So Teisa is assuming, that there is amir liyakim to ask a yid to do what I'm not allowed to do. And the generally accepted opinion today is like Rashi said. No, the Psak Allah is the same on the Erev Tavshilin. Whoever forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, he's not allowed to ask a Jew to cook for him. He has to be makna the food to the other Jew, and then the other Jew may cook based on his Erev Tavshilin.
Is there a problem with the
Kenyan? The Kenyan is a big kasha, a big problem. There is a Gzeira de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to do Mekkah Humemkar on Shabbos. Mekkah Humemkar means business to sell. I sell you a pair of shoes. I sell you a suit. I sell you furniture because you may write it down. Right. Right. So that's a machlekes harishonim. What about to give a matnas metalkalim? If I'm selling something and you're going to have to pay me afterwards, there's a chashash, we may write it down. If you didn't pay me yet, but there's a chashash, someone may write it down to remember how much he owes. If he's transferring ownership of karka, even a matona, there's for sure a chashash, somebody may write it down. Usually real estate you keep records, whether it's mine or it's yours. But if it's a maton of metaltalin, it's a matana, he's not going to pay anything. There's no charge. And it's metal, and it's not real estate that you have to keep record. So matana metal, that's a big machlekes. So some, the Ne'iri says, no problem. And that's why it's permissible to be makna kimcha lacher. He gives his raw food to the next door neighbor who did make the eftaf shilin, and he's allowed to cook for him. Many Rishonim say you're not allowed to do that. The gzeira of nekach hanemka doesn't only apply when it's, when there's a price that's going to have to be paid, even if it's a matan on the tafel, and also you're not allowed to. So what do they do with this gemara? Shtei deferish the makna kimcha lacherim. So the halachas gedolus answers that the makam mitzvah is mutter. That since he wants to have food for Shabbos, he forgot to make an eftaf shilin. He has no brera. So since the makam mitzvah is mutter, that's how the halachas gedolus explains. On the first day Sukkot, on the first 2 days Sukkot, in each alachem, on dalad minim. So now the common practice that everybody buys their own lulav and esrog. Years ago, people couldn't afford to buy their own lulav and esrog. You had one or two lulavim in every shul, and whoever the shul bought, the rabbi bought, one of the balabatim bought, and then they gave everybody a matanam naslahatzer. But the question is, how can you give a matanam naslahatzer on Yom Tov? It's a chakinyan, according to the. So the Meiri holds there's no prohibition, matnis matalful and miyad liyad, there's no problem. And the halacha zelma says the Torah says that b'mokka mitzvah is mutter. When this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote the Meiri, they didn't have the Meiri, so they quote that b'mokka mitzvah is mutter. So the Magen Avraham adds on another mokka mitzvah. It says the minig used to be that when a chosin got married by the oifruf, I think the chosin would say divrei Torah, he would say adrosha. And the Balabatim would give the matonis that was called the Drosha Geshank. The matonis would cover the Dvar Torah that he said. So he used to give the Drosha Geshank on Shabbos. Apparently every community had an Erev. Otherwise, how can they carry? Every community had an Erev. So he used to give the Drosha Geshank on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham raised the question, it's matonis, it's Mekach HaMemka, how can you give a matonis on Shabbos? So he says he considers that a Mokha Mitzvah. That's considered a Mitzvah, Simchas Chosin. I don't know, when did they give the Rosh Hashanah? Shabbos before the Chasana, no?
Before.
Shabbos before the Chasana. And he still holds that that's called a Makam Mitzvah. They're not even married yet. They're preparing to get married. That's also Simchas Chasana Kal. Morgan Abram considers that a Makam Mitzvah.
If
they
take up the Rosh Hashanah, even if I'm a Chasana, you know, Makam to somebody else,
that's what Tosis time is, that the old Hu Nesa Bekimcha Nesar, that expression should follow, that even if you're Makta Lachem, it's not going to help. But that's why Tosis says they don't agree with Rashi's terminology. Halacha L'maisa, they agree on this din. Brisa says what the din is. But Tosis says that means Hu Nesa Bein Kimcha Nesar. Rashi says no. It means Hu Nesa Bekimcha Nesar. That's why it is necessary to be Makta Lachem.
But on food, let's say, you give me your food, you can invite me to your house to give me food, otherwise I couldn't even be your guest.
If
you're not able to makna meet you,
it won't help.
You can't give me anything to eat.
No. Tyson says if I forgot to make an Erev Taf Shilin, even if I give you my raw food, you're still not allowed to cook.
But we're talking about matana.
No, matana.
You can't even give me any food.
No, matana is the problem we solved. The Makam Mitzvah is mutter. That we solved that problem. No. Tyson's chep is Rashi on the Erev Taf Shilin story. If a person forgot to make an Erev Taf Shilin, if you're going to adopt the position that Kimcha and Esa, that the food becomes also, so what good is it that he's going to give it matana to someone else? But the Chachamim said you're not allowed to cook that food. So Taisa says the terminologies have to be reinterpreted.
Because Kimcha the food, it's just like the workman, you didn't have it before you entered. And you didn't have it before you entered.
But it's still around. It's not, I don't think it's Noila. I don't think that's Noila.
But it was created. Whether it falls from the tree or somebody brings it into the house, it's the same theory.
Like
the apple falls down on Yom Tov. It's the same thing like somebody brings it to your house.
Nah, I don't think so. Okay, that's my law. Now the Gemara towards the bottom of the daf, four lines before the bottom, the Gemara has a new shaila. We have a din on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. You're not allowed to turn on the lights, and you're not allowed to cook food. What happens if someone turns on the light? A yid does malacha, he turns on the light. Am I allowed to be nene from his malacha? A yid comes and he cooks food. Am I allowed to eat the food that he cooked for Shabbos? So that's a Gemara that there's a that's called malacha Shabbos. someone went ahead and they did a malacha, am I allowed to get hanua? So it says that you're not allowed. And in the Gemara it would appear in Bava Kamma, in Perek Meruba, it would appear that that's a machlokes hatanaim. Is that an issa deraisa, or is that an issa derabbanan? That he's not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, that's an issa deraisa. He's not allowed to turn on the lights, he's not allowed to cook. But if he went ahead and he violated it, maybe b'shogeg, whatever it is, he made chilul Shabbos. The halacha that says, I'm not permitted to be nene from malacha Shabbos that was done by Yid, is that issa shalal lehanis malacha Shabbos? Does that constitute an issa deraisa? Or is that a nisa derabban? So we pass him, it's only a derabban. We pass him, it's not deraisa. There's a shalim anymore. Maybe there was one tana who held that it's deraisa. We don't pass him like that tana anyway. So the maximum it is, it's only derabban. So now the Gemara has a shaila. This gzeira derabban, this penalty of derabban, the knas, the penalty of derabban, that you're not permitted to be nehne for malecha Shabbos. If the yid was mechal Shabbos, turning on the lights or cooking, so you're not allowed to read liora there, and you're not allowed to eat the food. What would be the din on Yom Tov Shabbos? Somebody forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin, so he's not allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. He goes ahead and he cooks anyway. He violates the din, he goes ahead and he cooks. Then he finds out later on that he wasn't supposed to cook because he didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin. So would we say he's not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos that he cooked the Yisr? Or would you say no? Oh, so what's the Shilin? So the Beis Yosef, Yosef Kara has a commentary on the Torah, the Beis Yosef. He quotes a long arichis. There's a fundamental machlokes in the Rishonim. What exactly is the bay over here? So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that the suffix was the following. If you do malacha on Shabbos, there's a penalty in the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to be nanat on malacha Shabbos. If you do malacha on Yontif, there's a penalty, you're not allowed to be nanat on malacha Yontif. He didn't even do malacha on Yontif. He can't say. They said you have to make an Erev Tav Shilin to remind you of something. Either to remind you not to eat up all the food on Yom Tov, don't forget to leave over chutz something for Shabbos, or to remind you not to cook on Yom Tov at all. But you really, it's mutam and atar, mutam and derabbanan to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. The Erev Tav Shilin is a reminder for something, so when he goes and he violates the takana derabbanan of Erev Tav Shilin, what did he violate? He didn't violate, he didn't do malacha on Yom Tov. The malacha is mutar. He violated, he didn't make the reminder. He was supposed to make a reminder, but to forget, he didn't make the reminder. So he did something improper. They said, if you didn't make this reminder, we don't want you to cook, but you can't really say that he did a malacha. He didn't do a malacha on Yom Tov. It's mutter minatar, mutter minatar, to cook on Yom Tov. So that was the Gemara Shaila. This is a hadakas dik isa, this is not a grubbe isa. He didn't actually do malacha on Yom Tov. A guy turns on a light on Yom Tov, he tells me, not allowed to be nenef in the light. We're not talking that. A guy did a dakis dikisir, he cooked on Yom Tov, but I don't have. That's how the push, this, that's the push of shatting him up. But the Beis Yosef doesn't pass them like that. The Beis Yosef says, no. We follow the opinion of the other Rishonim, that the Gemara Zibaya was whether the penalty of Malach HaShabbos applies to Yom Tov. Maybe the penalty only was on Mavashal B'Shabbos. But if you do Malach on Yom Tov, he knows absolutely us. A guy built a house on Yom Tov. God didn't. So the sukkah and yontif, hammer and nails and poles and everything, he gets a whole job, a major job. He builds a house on yontif, builds a sukkah and yontif. The Gemara has a suffix whether the penalty of not to be nana from Malach HaShabbos, does it apply to yontif or not? That's how the Beis Yosef writes in Shulchan Aruch. And it's important to know what the suffix was, because this is going to remain an ibay the loy of shita. There's no maskana. So since it's only a, the whole issue is only an issue of the Rabbanon, so we pass the sake of the Rabbanon of Tuna. Absolutely, the whole Perek is Erev Tav Shilin. Yeah. Right. Oh, so we'll get it for the next line in the Gemara.
Okay.
Next line in the Gemara sounds like the Beis Yosef.
But the issue arguing is the wording is as important as halacha. This is what the whole letter.
Okay. Okay. The wording is I would have said like you also. The wording of the Gemara is Mish Ibaylo Abav. What's the shaila?
Abav
Yofamai. He did make an Erev Tav Shilin. And he violated the din, he went ahead and he baked, in which case he didn't even violate a malacha. He's allowed to bake for Yom Tov Shabbos. He violated the takana of Erev Tav Shilin. Is there penalty over there? The Parshup Shat is like you said, mine.
Technical transgression.
Yeah, right. But he didn't really do malacha. But in the Hemshech HaGemara, we're going to have to see It sounds from the Gemara the way they continue that it may shift that it goes on every Malach on Yom. Let's see. Toshma Mishloi Nich Eret Tavshilin. So the Brisa says, what's the din if someone forgot to make an Tavshilin? What does he do? Kate said, Huay said, Makna Kimchal Achem Achem Mofam Loi or Mavashin Loi. The Brisa that we just had before. So the Gemara says, Ve'im Isa. And if you're going to think that the din is that if a person forgot and he violated, he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, he goes ahead and he cooks the food, the Isa. If you're going to tell me that the din is that there's no penalty, he's allowed to eat it on Shabbos, he forgot he cooks on Yom Shabbos without an Erev Tavshilin. You're going to say you're allowed to eat it. So this Bryce is trying to tell you Heter. The Bryce tells you, what's the din? A man forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, so he's stuck. So what Heter can you give him? So he gave one Heter, and Makna Kim Klachem. So tell him another din. And if by mistake he forgot and he cooked anyway, you should know that'll be Mutter. If the Bryce is trying to tell us Kulis, to tell us that cool also, so don't you see from the Brisa that there is no such cooler, that the din is lechuma, that you're not allowed to eat it. And if one should assume that it's lehakel, zolsteina zayin the Brisa, listen, let it say in the Brisa, over the offer is mutter, and for the Gemara, what are you talking about? This Brisa is telling me eitzis, how to do it beheter. You forgot to make an Erev Tavshilin, but this is what you got to do. Give your raw food to the next door neighbor who did make an Erev Tavshilin, he's allowed to cook. Right, this Bryce is not interested in telling you, and what's the din if he violated the din? And he went ahead and he did a nisir, what's the din is allowed to eat? This Bryce is telling you, everything more, Tane, Takante, Tehterek Tane, Takante, Nisir, Lok Tane. This Tane is only trying to tell me, coolest, eightest, what to be allowed to do. Not if you went and you violated. So you can't tell anything from this Bryce. Dagmar Toshma, let's see, there's another Bryce. Mishinir, Erev Tavshilin. If somebody did make an Erev Tavshilin, Hareza, Oifim, Avashim, and Machmin, fine. He's allowed to cook and bake and do hatman on Yom Tov Shabbos. After he already finished cooking everything on Yom Tov Shabbos, the whole Erev Tavshilin is that he began to cook for Shabbos already on Erev Yom Tov. What's the whole idea behind Erev Tavshilin? He already began his preparation for Shabbos on Erev Yom Tov, so what he cooks and he bakes on Yom Tov is just a hemshech, a continuation from Erev Yom Tov, and he continues to cook more on Yom Tov the covered Shabbos. Yes. So that makes sense if you say you have to save the Erev Tavshilin and eat it on Shabbos. A lot of people don't eat the Erev Tavshilin on Shabbos. So let's say this matzah with the hard-boiled egg that a lot of people put aside. A lot of people never eat the matzah and the hard-boiled egg. It sits there. The Gemara says, an Indian says in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Aaron, Aminis Chasidus. Since we used it for one mitzvah, we made an Erev Tavshilin with this matzah. So let's use it for another mitzvah. Use it for Lechem Mishnah and for Suda Shabbos. Use it for the Lech Mishnah for Friday night, for Shabbos morning, Shabbos Shudas. But that's a recommendation, it's not a real din. So that's Chiddush number one. I would have thought that the Erev Tavshilin only makes sense if he actually goes ahead and eats the Erev Tavshilin on Shabbos. So the Gemara says not necessary. Lloyd died that it's not necessary. Let's say it's Erev Shabbos, and the Balabas already prepared everything, she already did everything, all the malachas she's going to do. She didn't bench Licht yet. She didn't bench Licht yet on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So somehow this Bryce is ignoring that. The Bryce is assuming she doesn't need an Erev Tavshilin in order to bench lift. So she already cooked all she's going to cook, the blech is all, everything is all ready. And now she's hungry, she has a desire and urge to eat up the Erev Tavshilin. She's going to eat the Erev Tavshilin on Yom Tov. This Erev Tavshilin is this is the beginning of Shabbat Gesuda that I began, that says it's permissible, Hefter Gomel HaChila. If you don't need the Erev Tavshilin anymore, be Zuntahate, eat it up on Yom Tov. But just make sure you don't eat it up before you finish cooking everything you want to cook. But if you know that everything is all finished, the Matzalach of the Seiruv, if he wants to eat the Erev Tavshilin on Yom Tov after he finished cooking and baking, Harishin's Biyada is perfectly permissible. Very surprising. I would have not, if I would have been a Tana, maybe I would have understood why the din is not so. That's the din. Okay. So a heter, serve the purpose. You don't have to fear doing it.
Why does it serve the purpose? If I still don't have the Erev Tavshilin, I can still eat up all the food on Yom Tov and leave up anything for Shabbos.
I don't know. He already cooked a ton. He already cooked everything.
But doesn't stop me from eating up all the food.
No, it's late the Yom Tov afternoon. He cooked so much specifically in the Kavod Shabbos, he's not going to eat it all up on Yom Tov. He cooked it all for Shabbos. Okay. I would have said also like that. I don't really understand, but that's the din. If he already cooked everything, Ratz Alach L'Seiru, he should be out of your lap. to taste the air of Tavshilin. You can nibble all you want as long as you have a kazayis left. It says as long as you have a kazayis left, then the air of Tavshilin is still betokfor. If you nibbled away so much that you no longer have a kazayis, there's no air of Tavshilin. The air of Tavshilin disappeared. So it says if you want to eat the air of Tavshilin after you did all the cooking, is also permissible. What if achol atchaloy off atchaloy hitmin? What if you ate everything up? You ate up the whole air of Tavshilin and you didn't finish cooking everything for Shabbos. Then it says you're not allowed to. I didn't. My air of Tavshilin disappeared, so my heta disappeared. I'm not allowed to cook for myself. I'm not allowed to cook for others. I'm not allowed to have other people cook for me unless I'm makne kimcha lachem yad. However, one heta you do have. You can cook for yontov as much as you think you really need, honestly, not to fake, not to be dishonest about it. Amavash lehuli yontov is allowed to cook whatever he thinks he may need for yontov. And whatever is left over for Shabbos is okay. Ubovat provided shelo yarim, he shouldn't do it in a dishonest fashion. He's going to say, oh, he needs all this for yontov, and it's really not true. And if he went ahead and he did dishonestly, bimherim poser. And if he baked on yontov for Shabbos, making believe that he needs it for yontov, and he's a faker, state he's not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So state the fairish. If you cooked on yontov for Shabbos without an air tashon, you're not allowed to eat the food on Shabbos. So how do we have any bayah the life shita? So the fairish of brisa and harim maser. If you cooked on yontov for Shabbos without an air tashilin, there is a penalty that you're not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. And for the gemara, no. Maybe that's worse. Amar avashi haromeko amrit. Fakers, that's the worst thing of all. If a person is a faker, he's putting on an act as if he's a tzaddik, and he's baking the extra food on yontov for yontov. So Rashi says he'll never do tshuva. If a person does harame, he'll never do tshuva. If he did it bavere, he didn't make an erev tavshin and went and he violated the din. He cooked on yontov Shabbos. So we're not sure. Maybe there's no penalty in halacha lemaisa we paskin. There's no penalty there. But if the guy put on an act of tzidkis, he knows he didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, so he's not going to cook on Yontif Shabbos. He's cooking everything a Yontif for Yontif, and then it turns out a ton of food is left over and it's really a fake. So then for sure there's a penalty. Shiny Harom and the Achmir Aber Abonant Femi Mezit, or Mach Mamor and the faker, then if he would have done the Aber the Mezit. So Blight Nachalz on the Bayad Leif Shita. We're still not sure what the din is. Still a Bayad Leif Shita. Nachman Bayitzchok says maybe that Bryce is Gora Machmer. We know that there are different opinions regarding Erev Tavshilin. We know that there's a machlokes Bishama and Bisilo in the Mishnah. Bishama is more machlo than Bisilo on certain aspects of Erev Tavshilin. We have a brisa that presents it a little differently than machlokes Bishama and Bisilo. Bishama is very machmas. And maybe just like we know Bishama is always machmer, and the Kol HaTerukula, and they're more machmer than Bisilo in Erev Tavshilin, maybe that brisa, that anonymous brisa, doesn't say who it is. Maybe that Bryce is like Hananya's version of Bashama, they're very, very machmir. So maybe that's the machmir, but maybe we don't pass like that Bryce. Just because you have a Bryce that says, and Mover, Vimheri, Moser, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to pass like. So that's what the Gemara says, Blight Machalz, and it buys the Leif Shita. So then, believe that, and next week we'll have to start. The Gemara is going to be patient, try to be patient from a case that doesn't say, worry about Erev Tavshilin. We're going to have to see how it fits in with the two short. We have different types of dinim d'oraisa. You have dinim d'oraisa that are b'feirish and the chumash. It says you have to give tzedakah and you have to keep Shabbos and you have to ben adam lachavera, ben adam lamakom, all the dinim in the chumash. And then you have drashas that you read in between the lines. The Torah Shebaal Peh has klolin, midrash ha'Torah nidreshes, then how to read in between the lines. Those are also dinim d'oraisa. So whatever it says in Chumash is just a bare skeleton of the demon, and there's so much more. You have to add on Dalt Nefefer, you have to add on some Shmaltz over here, missing. So it's assumed that there are Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then to fill in the missing line. And then you have a whole section of Dinim Deraisa that have absolutely no Mokka whatsoever. That's called Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. We had called Be'emes Amru Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. Whenever it says Be'emes Amru, it's Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. What's the definition of Halacha L'Moshe Nisina? A din deraisa that was transmitted from generation to generation, a din deraisa that neither appears explicitly in the Chumash, nor is there any method, nor is there any means whereby you can read it in between the lines. There's no midrash HaTorah Nidreshes. So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga gives a mashal of a halacha l'moshe mi Sinai, so it says HaTorah Nidorah. A person takes a neder, And then he has a Pesach, he has a Charata later on, he goes to a Dezna of Pri, and they make a Hataras and Dorim. So it says, Hataras and Hetan and Dorim Porchim Boavir, it's floating in the air, Ve'elahem al-Meshe Yismochu, it has no foundation to be based on. What do you mean Porchim Boavir? It means that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's been transmitted orally through the Torah Shabbat Fe from generation to generation. Porchim Boavir. It's not show me Vusa Shteit Geshibn, it's not in the Chum, it's not explicit, and it's not in between the lines. It's just transmitted from generation to generation. The Einlam Amesh Yismochu, there is no Midash Atar in the Rashi. That's how the Tan and the Mishnah say. Then the Gemara quotes Tanoim, the last daf in the first paragraph of Chagiga. The Gemara quotes Tanoim who disagree with the Tan and the Mishnah. They say no, Hataras Nedarim is a Din Deraisa, the Yeslo Amesh Yismochu, so one Tan of Darshan. One Pasuk, one Tan of Darshan. Another Pasuk, different Tanoim, Darshan, different Sukkim. So one of the several drushes is from today's Sedra, that it says, Kol Nediv Libo. Yivyeho. It says a few times Nediv Libo. The one Tana Darshan is Nediv Libo Kolzman She Libo Yolo. Kolzman, if his heart was with it, he knew what he was talking about when he took the Neder, and he still wants the Neder. But if he wasn't fully there, he wasn't all there at the time that he took the Neder, he didn't fully realize what the results may be, that's the HaPesach. If I would have realized that I'm going to suffer, I'm going to fall into this Neder, I would have not taken the Neder. Or at the time that he took the Neder, he realized everything, but he was in an unusual mood. He was a little too tipsy, he was a little too happy, a little too excited, a little too angry. And then later on he asked Charata why he was in such an unusual mood. He was not in a state of equilibrium. So it's also not called Nediv Liboy. It's not Liboy Olof. He's not in the same state of mind, same frame of mind that he was at that time. But that's a Hetta Charata. The one Tana, several Tanaim Darshan from different Sukkim, the Torah, the Vim, Exuvim, and Tilim, different Sukkim. So this is one of the Drashas, called the Div Libo. Is there any difference between the Tana who says that Hataras and Dorim is purely Halachal Moshe Mitzinai, or the Tana who says that it's based on the Pasuk called the Div Libo? There's a big difference. The Gemara and Erevin discuss, most of the Dilim of Hataras and Dorim appear in the Dorim, where it belongs, believe it or not. And some of the discussions appear gar in Chagiga, the last daf in Chagiga, and some appear in other mistakes all over the place. So the Gemara in Erevin has a very important discussion about those numbers. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim regarding Hataras Nedarim, whether poschim b'charata or ain't poschim b'charata. So what does that mean? So there are different interpreters, three different shatim the Rishonim have on the Gemara. So the Pashup Shat is, we know that there's a Hataras Nedarim that's called a Pesach. Pesach means if I wasn't fully aware of the ramifications of the Neder, if I would have realized that this is going to antagonize everybody, or that this is going to get me into such trouble, I'm going to have to fast Tanesim, there's only Chaim Farm that there's not going to be any food to eat. I took a Neder not to eat any of this, and it turns out there's none of that. So I would have never taken a Neder. So if it's really true, it's really honestly a Mata Neder, that's called a Pesach. A Pesach means he didn't fully realize the results of the Neder. And Charata is not exactly, a Pesach means a Neder B'Toras. Charata means he knew what he was doing at the time, but he was not in a state of equilibrium. Too happy, too sad, depressed, angry, whatever, not in the normal state, not in a normal frame of mind. So that's a Machlekes HaTanayim. Can you break a Neder with Charata, or can you only break a Neder with Pesach? Pesach is better than Charata. Pesach, you convert the Neder into a Neder B'Toras. So that's the Pashat Shatim Mavada. Poschim B'Charata, can you break a Neder? Can you open up a Neder by using a Charata, or can you not open up a Neder? Can you not break a Neder by using Charata? That's the Pashup Shat. So some Taisus quotes on that Gemara and Erevin, and the Samach and the Samach, that Taisus quotes one Pshat, go a wild Pshat. The Machlokes is, Poschim b'Charata is a Chumrah. We always learn Poschim b'Charata is a Kula. You don't have to have a Pesach, Charata is good enough. The Taisus has a Pshat, Kum Faker. Poschim b'Charata, when you want to be Matan Neder, do you have to have a Pesach or a Charata? Well, no, ain't Poschim b'Charata, there's no need for Charata. You don't have to have Pesach, you don't have to have Charata, you just go to the Rabbi, the Rabbi get that papal dispensation, Mutalach, 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 there's no Pesach, there's no Charata, there's nothing, the Bezin just says it's Mutah, in fact. The Taisus rejects that shot. They think that no one ever held like that, that's out of the ballpark. It's out of consideration, there's no way to be Matan Neder. Without a Pesach, without a Charata, it doesn't exist at all. It's against all the Gemara. But Taisus quoted such a Pshat. So the Pashtus is, all of the drushes that all the Tanoim quoted, they're all similar to this. And one Pasuk is from the Chunim, I don't know, I forgot. Shenish Bata Biyapi. He took the shul when he was angry, but later on when he wasn't angry, so the shul would fall apart. I'm walking from the pasuk until Shenish Bata Biyapi. The other pasuk is Kol Nadiv Liboy. Only Bizman Shel Liboy Olot. All of the psukim from Chumash, from Nevi'im, and from Ksuvim, all the different drushes. But all the Tanaim who say that it is from the Midrash HaTanaim Yerushalayim, they're all based on the assumption that there's something missing. Liboy, Bi'api, there's something missing. Nobody says in the drushes, just like this, that the Bezdin is just Matar the Neder. If you say that HaTos and Dorm is Halach L'Moshe Nisinai, then you're free to make out of it whatever you want. Then try to say, HaTos and Dorm, Bezdin can give a dispensation. They can just say, we hereby, with the foul vested in us as a Bezdin, we break your net and you don't have to keep it, even though there's no Pesach and there's no...